God, what a God. Amen. What an awesome God we have. That leads us. Amen. We used to sing a song a long time ago when I was a kid. That's been a long time ago. And the old, a lady, an elder in the church where I grew up, she used to sing it, and she'd get about halfway through it and just go to speaking in tongues and shouting.
Yeah,
sing this old song, God leads his dear children along. Some through the fire, some through the water, but all through the blood.
Amen.
Amen. I used to love to hear sing that. But anyway, we're going back to our passion intention. We're being intentional, right?
Amen.
We're being passionate and we're being intentional. We got to do things on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we have no purpose, we do not get what God wants.
Right. Right.
Amen. Yes. People without a purpose is a people without a destiny. And so Jesus had a purpose. His purpose was to come and defeat the works of the enemy.
Amen.
And he said, that's what he said. He said his purpose was to defeat every work of the enemy.
Amen.
Jesus got ready to go. He looked at his disciples and said, that old rascal has nothing in me.
Amen.
That's to beat the devil, right? How many can say that tonight? He has nothing in me. Amen.
Yeah.
He has nothing in you.
Yeah.
You just got to believe it.
That's right.
And stop arguing with it.
Come on now.
Amen. I got to believe it and stop fussing with it.
Yeah.
Just ignore the crazy guy. You know what? If you'll keep acting like he's not around.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
He'll leave you alone. Because he don't like people that don't entertain him.
That's yeah. Right. Come on.
Those ignoring kind of people, who hangs around them?
Yeah.
When you come to in a house and you're ignored, you don't want to go back, right?
Right.
Well, the devil's the same way.
Yeah. Come on. That's good. Amen. That's good.
He ain't worth it.
No, he ain't.
Why would you talk to a dog?
Come on, man.
Or a frog.
Think about it. Think about it.
And he's the littlest angel.
That's right.
Come on. He's a cherub. Cherubim. They're the littlest angel that there is in the angelic beings.
Yeah.
He's got a big mouth, but he's a little guy. Because it's going to take one angel to flick him off.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
One angel's going to bind him for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit. Hey, if one angel can do that, what can a guy with hundreds and thousands of angels around
Come
him
on
do?
Now.
They that are with us are more than they that are with him.
Yeah.
Woo, hallelujah. So we talked about last time, we talked about the churches and the revivals. How many remembers that? Amen. We talked about the revivals, and we're still talking about the Elisha factor or the Elisha principle here. And today I'm going to move into the trappings of transition. We get caught up, and I think I touched on it a little bit last time. But in every move of God, reactions vary widely. Thousands attend. Many bring friends and loved ones, and people are healed, delivered, and transformed. Yet, many take issue. They are either outright opposed or disappointed.
Yeah, come on.
As though God failed them.
Wow.
In the move of God.
So
they failed to live up to their expectations of what he would do. Do you understand people can get healed and then accept their sickness back?
Yes, they can.
We've seen people get delivered and healed and then accept it back. Who wants that? Because every time he comes back, he brings a bigger one with him. How many wants more sickness than you already have? Well, then I would accept it back. So the presence of opposition or discouragement in the wake of a spiritual a movement is not a new idea. Remember Elijah? After the great big revival with the prophets of Baal? And he finds himself in a cave? feeling sorry for himself after all the showdown that God answered by fire.
Come on.
Come on. God just brought heaven down to earth and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the water, and the rocks.
Yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it? The threat from wicked Jezebel, and he fled for his life. You can find this in 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19. Just as Elijah was ready to pack it all in, God sends an angel with food in 1 Kings 19:5-6. Elijah ate and ran to the Mount Moriah, or Mount Horeb. When he arrived there, he had a church service in which God preached an illustrated sermon.
Yes.
How many likes the illustrated sermon? Yeah, we like them, don't we?
Yeah.
All right, so God is using a sermon, using wind, earthquake, and fire to get a point across to this broke-down preacher.
Come on.
This preacher that thinks God failed him. And Elijah complains that he's the only one left in Israel who was hungry for more of God. How many said that?
Come on.
I'm so discouraged because my house don't believe in God. I'm so discouraged because of what I have to go through and what I have to deal with. God, please come and get me.
Come on.
Huh? Save me, God. But God's records indicate that there are at least 7,000 others in 1 Kings 19 and 18. It was at Horeb, the Mount of God, that Elijah received a heavenly perspective of the situation. God showed him that he was not alone in his faith. Elijah was surrounded by idol worshipers, yet there were many other passionate followers of God besides him. He wasn't by himself, and he wasn't the only one. So be careful when you start thinking that you're it. God might show some others up. Amen.
Amen.
People that you didn't even know existed. Where'd these people come from?
Come on.
Right? They start coming in like crazy. And they got the same zeal and the same presence. And they looking for the same thing that you're looking and you got.
Wow.
God, where did these people come from? And we're all just. And just a week before we were going, ain't nobody. I'm it. I'm by myself in this big old county. Right? And I'm the only one on the move, God. Come on, church. So we need a heavenly perspective that looks outward from self to see the larger picture that God has. Sometimes, so many times we look in the mirror and that's as far as we look. Do you understand the mirror is not a window?
Yeah. Come on, brother. Come on,
brother. A lot of people stand up trying to look out the window and they don't see them. They don't see nothing about God, what God's doing. They only see what a mess they're in. Come on. Push that mirror back and look out the window. And see what God is doing in our nation, in our county, in our church. And stop looking at it as looking at the mirror, because all you see is you. It is important that we hear what God is saying and perceive the workings of His power and His grace in the heart of His faithful people. Elijah thought he was alone. But here he was, there was a faithful remnant in Israel who had not bowed their knees to Baal. God had 7,000 he could count on. Remember, 7 is the number of perfection.
Yes. Yeah.
1,000 is a number symbolizing completeness. So 7,000 is perfection and completeness. So God said, hey, boy, I got perfection and completion. around the corner. You just didn't know they existed. And among that 7,000 and of perfection and completion was his replacement. Oh. He was worried that God's work wasn't going to go on if he left.
Come on,
look at this.
Good, brother.
Well, I'm the only one doing God's will. God gave me this plan and this thing that he wants me to do, and I'm the only one that can get it done. Really? Really?
Come on.
God has 7,000. There was a perfect and complete company of believers worshiping a true God, and among that 7,000 was Elisha. Ooh, hallelujah. Elisha was also God's provision for Israel and an ideal for successor to Elijah. So guess what? We're not by ourselves.
Amen.
So, speaking of that, I want to talk about joy no matter what for a minute.
Come on, amen, brother. Yes.
Amen. Elijah would spend remainder of his days preparing Elisha to replace him.
Yes.
He would spend the remainder of his days in completion of what God had set him forth to do. This guy was about to take up where he leaves off. And he's all down and discouraged and depressed. Because there ain't nobody to help him out. And nobody for him to teach the will of God and the way of God, and God's work's going to die, and I'm just...
Come on.
Woo! Earlier in this study, we learned about Elisha's hometown. I remember it's Abel Mahola, or Meadow of the Dance. Anybody remember that? Where Elisha was from? The Meadow of Dancing? Well... Dance is festive. And Elisha lived in this place. And his predecessor, or the guy he was under, is up here in the mulligrubs. No wonder God has a sense of humor to bring you a dancer every now and then. You just all messed up and all of a sudden you get hit with a dancer. And who can put up with one of them guys? They're so excited about life because they come from the meadow of...
Come on, now.
Saying, really? Oh, my God. I wanted a minute just to grab. And here comes this dance. And this guy is everything but a grasper.
Come on, now. Good.
Oh, y'all sitting down on me, aren't you? I sat down on God when he brought me this too, and I was like, really, God? I wanted a minute. I wanted to feel good about my struggle right now.
Come on.
And now you're telling me you're sending me a guy that has been in the metal of dancing and that's all he's going to know?
Amen.
He's going to come in here and wreak havoc of our same church.
Come on, amen.
And yes, it's happening.
Amen.
Because God is sending us not one, but a bunch of dancers.
Amen.
Woo! Y'all just thought y'all was a mess with a preacher that came out of the other north end of Oklahoma that is crazy and loud. And here God fills up the church with them kind of crazy. You understand? Don't underestimate the power of our God. When you want a monitor and when you want a grasp, he's going to put a dancer in your house. Says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16, rejoice always.
Amen.
And then if he said that didn't work, he said it again, I say rejoice. If you don't get it, rejoice always, I'm going to tell you again, rejoice.
Hallelujah.
Just keep rejoicing.
Amen.
Well, I don't know about that. And if that wasn't enough, he moves on to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. And says, rejoice in the Lord always.
Amen, brother.
Woo. God is looking for people who live with a joyful attitude.
Amen.
People who will look to Him and rejoice.
Yes.
And not necessarily for all things,
hallelujah,
but in all things. We don't rejoice about everything, but we rejoice in Him,
yeah,
in everything.
Yes, amen. That's good, brother.
You can't rejoice when your pocketbook is empty, but you can rejoice in that you know who's going to fill it. You can't rejoice when you're in sickness and disease has been pronounced over your life, but you can rejoice and you serve the God that heals all of your diseases.
Amen.
Understand, you have a medal of dancing. He just kind of put you in it.
Yes,
put somebody in your way.
Yeah.
That's going to remind you.
That's good.
Just rejoice.
Amen. That's good.
Just praise God.
Yes. Praise
God. Just get your mind on God.
Yes,
for real.
That's right.
That's good, yeah, when everything's falling apart.
Yeah.
God wants to see His people and to use a people who will express His joy. The joy of the Lord, as brother said this morning, is our strength.
Yes, amen.
We got to have joy no matter what.
Yes.
Abel Meholah is a crossroads, a place where difficult decisions are made and challenges are faced.
Yeah.
You can't just go in this place just dancing all the time because you got some hard choices to make, because you're always at a crossroads. How many of us feel like their life is just a constant crossroad? Every time you think about it, there's an intersection. Every time you get ready, there's a red light.
Yeah.
Every time you get ready to go,
oh, really?
Yeah, been there.
Come on.
Reach it.
Intersection. For real? An intersection? Right here? They put a stoplight here?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So, many of us have experienced a good deal of adversity and tribulation if you've been saved any length of time at all. But yet God continues to teach us that we can rejoice in Him.
Yes, amen.
You can't rejoice in what you're going through, but you can rejoice in Him.
That's right, brother.
We have learned that steadfast joy protects our hearts when we, as Romans 4 and 18 says, when we hope against hope, as Abraham did, God invests Himself in us through the hardships of life. You know what? God invests in joyful people.
Yeah. Amen.
Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Let the saints be joyful in their King.
Yeah.
Oh. Really, God, I don't feel like being joyful tonight. I've just had a bad headache. I just barely made it to church. I had a flat on the way here. And I ran over the dog on the way out the driveway. Come on, y'all in there. I can't be joyful. But who's your King?
Come on, think about it.
But who is your rewarder?
Yes.
Who is going to get you through this?
That's right.
Who's going to bring you out of the miry clay? Who set your feet on a rock to stay? Who put a song in your heart? He's the one. He said, let them saints be joyful in their King. Let them praise Him in a dance. Let them sing aloud on their bed.
Really? Yes,
really, God? Sing out loud on my bed? For real? That is the dumbest thing ever. But I guarantee you, that will move God like nothing else.
Yeah,
man. I've done it. And I've seen some pretty good-sized victories by just singing out loud on the bed. Oh, it's a dumb. That's crazy. Why would He say something like that? I don't know why He did, but I know it works. When you begin to worship Him, things begin to happen. Because the enemy doesn't like worship because he was the worship leader.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And he knows what worship does.
Yeah.
Because he was worship.
Yeah.
He wasn't just a musical instrument. He was music.
Yeah.
anytime the Spirit breathed over him, he sang.
Yeah.
Or he harped, or he blew a trumpet, whatever. All kinds of strings and harps was built into that guy.
Yeah.
He was music. When heaven needed music, all they had to do was grab the cherub. Because the cherub was music. But when Satan fell and lost his anointing, he never lost his gift. And he's still using the gift today. But he's faking the anointing.
Yes.
But you and I have his spot. And he don't like it.
That's right, brother.
Because he knows what worship and anointing will do.
Uh-huh.
It'll break yokes. It'll destroy captives. It'll set captives free. It'll destroy the yokes of bondage. It'll bring heaven down. And it'll bring glory into your being. When you begin to... Come on. They used to teach us, when you sing, sing from here. Not from here. When you sing from here, your whole body is singing. And you feel the harmony or the melody. And you feel it from way down deep.
Hallelujah.
And when you begin to bring it from down there, guess what? When it comes out here, it is a heartfelt, heart moved.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on now. Hallelujah. Come on.
You know why? Because you give it their all. James 1 and 2 tells us to count it all joy.
Count it all joy.
When things get tough, when you fall into temptation. Count it all joy. If you look at that word in the Greek, that count it all joy means throw a party. When everything falls apart, just bring out the balloons.
Amen.
Bring out the song. Put on some music. Start up the dance because party's about to happen, because we know when we get the party started, he'll show up at the party. Have some Paul and Silas, he'll show up when the party begins to happen. He'll show up. Oh, you can't keep him out. If you're leading him on this your situation, sing him in, worship him in, praise him in, glorify him in, and your field will become a field of dance. Hallelujah. Joy no matter what.
I gotta
get through this. We can't allow ourselves to be swayed and deceived by the Baals of our day. We got them. Man-made idols and promises of the easy life feed the spirit of this age. Come on, you want to make money real fast and don't have to work? How many eyes do y'all see a day on that? Don't buy into them. Because you'll find yourself working harder and making no money. Psalm 30 and 11. We are called to endure for the sake of the faith in Christ. Doing so, we will reap a great reward. Like Elisha, we can make our home in Abel Meholah, where God will turn our mourning into dancing. Psalm 30 and 11. How many like your morning to go away and the dancing start? Well, you can't ask for that until you are willing to dance before the Lord. Come on, we like to dance when the Lord comes. But we don't want to dance before him. Come on, he said, let them praise him in the dance. That means before he shows up. It ain't hard to praise him when he shows up. It ain't hard to strike up a dance. But when everything's dry and everybody's looking at you, and the Lord says, get up and dance.
Yeah.
On how great thou art, God, really? There's nobody in the church moving this morning. They're all tired. They're all so deep. But sir, well, you might wake them up.
That's right.
Come on, he said, wake up your mind and then. So it might take somebody dancing.
Why so?
to wake us up.
Hey, we're in church. Oh, I'm supposed to be dancing too.
We're in the field of dancing.
Amen.
Amen. I want to go quickly, and I want to talk about working in the field. Working in the field. I want you to understand that God sent Elijah to Elisha, and when Elijah found his replacement, he, Elisha, was plowing a field with 12 pair of oxen.
That's right.
12. Mm-hmm. Not 11. Not 10. Not 9. Do you understand? And I'll bring this out in the next sermon. But a 12 is God's perfect order of government.
Amen to that.
It's his perfect divine governmental order. You can't have government without having 12 in God's kingdom. There are 12 tribes.
Yes. Come on.
There are 12 apostles.
Come on.
There were 12 foundations.
Yes.
There are 12 foundations to the city. Yes. There are 12 gates, yes, to the city.
Yeah. Yes. Come on.
Yeah, right?
Amen.
So, Elijah found Elisha plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. I set this out because I want to know for myself. What kind of deal did he do? Did he plow with one of them 1 minute and then trade off? No. He had 11 other people besides himself that he was over that was a plowing them other 11 yoke of ox.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
He oversaw the other 11 pairs, Brother Rex.
Come on.
Oh. I don't know how we're sitting here. So Elisha served a dual role. He labored and gave orders. He plowed with one pair of oxen, oversaw the other 11 pairs. Why was he working so hard? It's because he was getting a field ready for his father to sow.
Amen. Come on, hallelujah.
No! He's getting a field ready for his father to sow it. Hey, the father's about ready to sow some seed.
Yeah.
Why is he getting that Christian worship center ready?
Yeah.
By calling 12 and 12 and 12 and 12.
Oh, oh, oh.
He's getting us ready, but he's saying, I'm not ready to sow. You got to pray, break it up, break it down, break it out. Because I'm about ready to come in and sow righteousness. Preacher, all right, thank you. When Jesus was 12, he wondered. 12. Y'all got that? He wondered from his parents.
Yeah.
Where they find him? In the temple, working on his ranch.
Come on.
He asked his mama, said, don't you know I'd be about my father's business?
Yeah.
I'm just. I'm seeking. I'm putting all the knowledge I can in my head. I'm getting all the word I can in me. I'm hanging out with the doctors. I'm hanging out with the scribes. I'm hanging out with these Pharisees because I want to know what my father said. I want to hear my father's voice. I want to do his business. I want to work in his field. I'm God. He's about ready to sow, and I'm doing my part on making the plow.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
whoo!
Hallelujah! Second day, come on.
So when he's worried, Mary found him.
Yeah.
Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Jesus was plowing the field of his heart and his mind.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
He was making room for the precious seed of the Word. The Word reaped the perfect harvest in him.
Yes.
And through him, because he is a seed.
Yes.
Oh, he was and is the Word.
Yes, he is.
Whew.
Yes,
he no wonder he looked for 12 guys.
Yeah.
I'm picking up some government here. I'm performing a kingdom.
Yeah.
And it's got to be 12
to
start this kingdom out. Because there's 12 gates.
Come on. Come on.
And each one of them has to go through a gate.
That's right.
And do you understand, in the United States of America, we are Peter's gate.
Come on.
I don't know if that makes y'all feel any better, but we were a part of his ministry that reached all the way, because if you lay it out, you can find out from Paul's journals what each apostle, where they went. And we are under, if you keep going down, we're under Peter's circle.
Hallelujah.
Oh. Guess what? We got good seed going on.
Yeah.
We're in good company.
We got fertile ground.
We got fertile ground. It's already been prepared. So the harvest is ready and ripe. The laborers are few. But that's why he's getting us ready. He's getting us prepared. He's putting us in order.
Yeah.
Oh, this makes me want to shout.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh. So break up the fallow ground. God will bless our labors.
Yeah.
And in his time, he will give us what we desire. I want you to look at Habakkuk's words real quick. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and though there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls. I will exalt the Lord.
Yes.
I will rejoice in the God of my salvation.
Amen.
The Lord God is my strength.
Yes.
He has made my feet like cattle feet, and it makes me walk on my high places.
Yes.
Somebody ought to say. So guess what? We're field workers.
Yeah.
We're laborers together with him. Amen. Old guy from Georgia, I used to know, was a doctor. Got up, preached a whole sermon. And got anointed doing it on this verse. And yet he said that God said he'd make our feet like hen's feet. You got two toes on the front and one in the back. Two toes in on the front, keeping climbing, and the other in the back, keeping from backsliding.
Come on.
But you understand what our job is? We got a job, but we're in good company. Don't you just love what God does?
Amen.
And in the church world today, we look at these numbers and think, well, what that mean? Go on. I didn't ever know why I just thought he made good use of his resources. Didn't have a clue that there was a prophecy hidden in there before and now.
Come on,
church. And then when they had this vision, I began to go back and I began to study, because Brother Rex had asked me, what does that 12 mean? I don't know. I mean, I knew what it meant, complete something, but wasn't for sure what it meant. But when he told me, I was like, oh, God, I got to study that. And then I started seeing, oh, that book's full of 12s. Golly. You're holding something, God. No, he's had the whole plan laid out for years and years and years.
Right.
It's been in the Old Testament, New Testament, and it's still going on.
Yeah.
He hasn't changed his mind or hasn't reestablished his plan. He just had to have somebody to believe in.
Amen.
Amen. He just needed somebody to stand up and believe his word and trust that he'd bring it to pass. Come on, church, we're in a prime time.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Amen.
We've got all different kinds of people in here.
Yeah.
We got all from all walks, from all, you know, a lot of different, come from different places and different. I mean, and God has just settled you and still will, really.
Amen. Come on.
A Arkansas, from the other end of Oklahoma, Nashville, Tennessee, all over, everywhere. And he's bringing them to Adair County. The little place that no everybody said, like Nazareth, what good can come out of that place?
That's true, man.
Really? They don't have nothing but a bunch of drug addicts there.
Come on, brother.
Yeah. But we are about to have some Holy Ghost addicts.
Come on.
We're going to have to rewrite the statistics because 58 ain't going to be the just normal age that they die around here. They're going to start living older and older and older and going to start being able to do more stuff. They're going to start being able to get out of the house. They're going to start being able to come out of the woodworks. They're going to be evangelized, the power of God, changing drug habits, changing all kinds of stuff. Everything that you're addicted to is no longer holding you back because you've been brought to the field of dancing where you can dance in the middle of hell. And it don't bother you a bit to do it because you know where you came from, but you know where you're headed. You know who called you. You will do great exploits in Adair County because God has called you to be in His presence.
Yes, amen.
No, it's not because we're the only church. No. Because God's about to make this whole county one church.
Amen.
Amen. I believe it.
Hallelujah.
And you know what? We have to do our part to make that happen.
Yes.
And we're doing that.
Come on,
bud. Because he said, when brethren dwell together in unity, it is like the oil from Aaron's head that flowed to his beard and dropped onto his garments. What it does is make it all wet. The oil just covers every part. The unity gets on everybody. And no longer we fill with opinions that destroy our unity. We're shutting our mouths.
Come on.
And we're letting God do the work.
Let God do the work. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Church, we are in a crucial hour. God is saying, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and there you will find rest for yourselves. How many is tired of working it down? How many is give out from trying to make it happen? Come on, church, we've entered into a rest. This is the refreshing. This is the rest where he's called the weary to rest. Learn of him. Just learn how he went away in the middle of the night and went off in the mountains to just stay alone with his father. Learn that trait. Learn that tactic where you can just disappear for a minute. And everybody might wonder where you went. They might try to follow you, but you just lose them. Amen, because you've got to have it. Come on, if you don't have it, you can't minister like God is about ready for us to minister unless we have some rest.
That's right.
A lady told me when I was back at Chewy, and they're coming back to the instruments, and they're going to get ready to sing. But the lady told me when I was at Chewy, she said, the Lord's speaking to me, and he told me to tell you to just rest.
Yes, hallelujah.
I was like, really? And this is what she told me. She said, he's saying, come away. I looked at her and I said, I need that, but I can't do it.
Yeah.
But lately, I've been finding some disappearing time.
Shut up, brother. Yeah.
Because God is getting us ready to do some high power work. And we're going to have to come away and get some strength from him to do what we're about ready to do. Because what we're about to accomplish will not be accomplished in our own strength.
Come on, brother.
It will be accomplished
in his
strength.
Come on, brother. That's good. Come on. Come on.
That's why that song that she sings, I just want to lay at your feet. Drink from your cup, is that what it is? Lay back against you and drink, baby.
Yes.
I just want to lay back and feel your heartbeat. Because the thing that's going on in our lives, we are meeting people that are torn apart. And you know what? Who wants to get saved and then become a workaholic?
Come on, brother.
Man, people don't do that. All they do is go to church. I don't want to be in that.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing, because they don't know what we're just coming here and just laying back.
Yeah.
They don't know that every time we come in here, we just lay back and just relax and just let it happen.
Yeah.
Come on. All they see is, come on. They work themselves in. I don't want that. I'm running from that because all I do is work. All I do is go. All I do is move. You know what? How are we going to teach them to lay back and relax if we don't know how? So tonight, we're workers in his field. But hey, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So let him show you how to work. Mary found out how to work. You know what it was? Sitting at his feet. I just want to sit at your feet, Lord. I just want to take in. Martha was comforted about the ministry. And I know we got to have workers. I know that. But let's all don't do it at once. Because otherwise we'll all get tired, worn out, messed up, aggravated, frustrated, don't want to be in church no more because we burn out. Because we didn't spend enough time laying back and relaxing on him. So church, I want you to just sit down tonight. We're going to stand. I want you to just lay back. Spiritually.